Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week, we're doing a throwback, one of our favourite things to do on the podcast.
It's a Thursday.
Throwback Thursday. We're doing a rank.
Yes, which means we rank things. People are loving to rank stuff these days. I feel like this is where most people are getting their news these days, are from ranks of things. And somehow we've sort of gone off the path of doing ranks at a time when ranks are at an all-time high.
Yeah, we were doing ranks before it was cool. I'm pretty sure Screen Verdict started the whole ranking craze back in 2011 with our Pixar rank.
Should we, in the title for this podcast, pick a number, like, let's say 8th or something on this rank, and just go, we count down the 20 most whatever, 8th will leave you speechless.
You won't believe what came in at number 14.
Yeah, we've got to do it. So at the end of this podcast, we've got to decide what number is the craziest one.
So what we're going to be ranking this week, I like this one. I'm going to give Matt some credit. Matt came up with this idea. I'm a big fan. It is the top 20 most pathetic television characters.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I was watching a TV show the other day thinking, that character is so pathetic. That must be one of the most pathetic TV characters of all time. It's just so annoying and nothing goes right for them and they just keep on making bad decision after bad decision. We should definitely rank this. And I'm glad Jonathan met this idea with open arms.
Ooh. I'm interested to see if that person makes the list. The inspiration for the podcast itself, they could appear quite high on our list of pathetic characters.
I'm just having a run through now of the names and wondering if that person is there. And I can't remember who that person was now.
It'll be a surprise for us, just as it is for you. So, Matt, tell us how we're going to do the rank.
Okay. We haven't done a rank in a while, so I'll run you down. Me and Jonathan both came up with 10 pathetic characters' names. We ran them by each other, made sure there weren't any matchups from the same shows, because we like to represent a whole range of shows here, so only one entry per each television show. I have put all those names in the cowboy hat. We have them all in the cowboy hat. I will be drawing them out of the cowboy hat. We will then discuss how pathetic they are, and then put them on a sheet of unlined paper for our MTV Video Music Awards. We tried lined paper for a first time. There were mistakes made. It was
there were lines throwing off the vibe of the whole thing. They were confusing us. Back to the trusty unlined paper.
Yeah, there were addition mistakes made. It was a disaster.
Interns were fired.
Yeah, so we've got high, middle, low, and then we'll sort of rank them as we go. Then at the end, we might juke it out, just make sure we're happy with where everyone sits, and then announce.
No, we're not going to be happy. 20. Matt and I are going to be at each other's throats over the next hour.
Yeah, the reason we haven't done a rank in a while, because we've been worried about our friendship. That's really, it's
high stakes podcast.
Yeah, so running high, middle, and low down. And okay, this is interesting.
I believe there's a cowboy hat involved.
Yeah.
Did you mention the cowboy hat?
What? Yes, no, I mentioned the cowboy hat.
I'm just such a big fan of the cowboy hat. I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that the names are being drawn from Matt's trusty cowboy hat.
Yes. And just to be clear, we're doing high, middle, low. Usually it's the best Pixar movie, the best sitcom character. It's pretty easy to follow us. But high means you are the most pathetic. It's the more pathetic you are, the higher you go. Okay? So that's how this is working. So let's go. Are you ready for me to draw the first name, Jonathan?
Let's kick it off.
I'm going to need to draw all the names because we are cross-continental. I'm Australia. But Jonathan can watch me draw the names. It's all very legit.
We got the Skype camera going.
Yeah. Okay, first one, we've got Mike from Veep. Mike from Veep. Jonathan, he was someone you chose. Talk us through why Mike is such a pathetic character.
Yeah, as people know, we're a big fan of the show Veep. Mike, kind of a funny character in Veep. Unfortunately for him, the humor comes at his expense. He is the sort of lead press person for Cillian Myers, but he's awful. He's a terrible writer. Everything he does has to get corrected by her, corrected by Gary, corrected by Dan, corrected by Amy. He's useless. In order to get out of doing his work, he makes up things like that he has a dog. And he takes it to the point where he carries around a picture of a dog in his wallet, a fake dog that he doesn't actually own, in order to get out of work, which is pretty pathetic. Even more pathetic still is that everybody knows the dog is fake. That is how little respect everyone has in the show for Mike, that they just let him go on telling this absurd lie to people. So he struggles, Mike. He's a battler. What do you think, Matt?
Yes. Mike is a pretty pathetic character. We've got a whole season where he's trying to get out of debt because he bought a boat that he doesn't need. And then we've got, he has to, and his lowest low, ask the vice president for a loan, which she just like goes, there is no way I am doing that. So he's just so pathetic. He did have a bit of a bounce back in season three. He did get married. And I think also against his patheticness, even though he's so pathetic, sometimes things sort of work out for him. He sort of can be so pathetic sometimes that the press don't get the story because he's so good. Or that he's so pathetic that he's sort of come to accept that and sort of rolls with it a bit. So I'd say that a bit of an argument against him being high on the list. Just an insight story. I have interviewed and spoken with Matt Walsh a couple of times. We're good buddies now, me and Matt, who plays Mike in Veep. And he is really one of the funnest guys I've gotten a chance to talk to. Really good guy. He actually sent me a tweet this year. He tweeted me, which was nice. And because when I was chatting with him this year, he showed me his real-life dogs.
Were they pictures or were they actually dogs, Matt?
He moved the laptop to show me the dogs that were running around on his floor, saying, here are my dogs. And I said, oh, so your dogs are real. He's like, yeah, yeah, they are. So he tweeted me, the dogs say hello. So there you go.
I'm going to say...
So I don't know. I'm thinking low for Mike. What are you thinking?
I was thinking low to medium. He's undeniably pathetic, but he did get married this season, and he seems relatively happy with the wife. And he does play the patheticness off against the reporters quite well sometimes to his advantage. So, all right, let's put him in low.
Let's put him low. We've got some pretty pathetic characters on this list. Okay, let's draw name number two. Name number two. Oh, this is one of my entrants. Angel Batista from Dexter.
Matt, why is Angel on your list?
This guy is very pathetic. Like, he ends up going out with someone he works with. He gets married to them. It ends in divorce. So just a disaster. He then gets caught with a stripper once, or a prostitute one season, gets sprung there. So relationship-wise, very pathetic. He then, like, has his niece going out with a guy in the police force, and sort of he sort of, like, doesn't really know what's going on there. So relationally, a disaster. But professionally, even worse, where he's running a police department with a serial killer, Dexter Morgan, right under his nose. And it gets to the absurd level in the final season where someone actually goes in, Deborah, goes in, tells him that Dexter is a serial killer, and he just dismisses it. He doesn't investigate at all. And then his ex-wife, especially in the season before when his ex-wife was bringing him all this evidence that Dexter might be a serial killer. His sister then comes with some more information. He just gets rid of it. Oh, she's crazy, man. And he never catches Dexter. He never even finds out Dexter's a serial killer. It's not even like Dexter got away from Angel Batista and foiled him. Angel Batista didn't even know that he was a serial killer by the end of the season. It was insane. This is one of the most pathetic TV outings I've ever seen from anyone.
Angel, not only is he terrible in love, terrible at work, no one takes him seriously, and the audience doesn't take him seriously because he wears these absurd Hawaiian shirts, these silly fedora type hats. He goes on crazy adventures like, oh, I'm quitting the Force to open up a restaurant. No, wait, I'm coming back to the Force. Does anyone even care? High. Angel is high on the list. Undeniably.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily pathetic.
I forgot about that restaurant. That's another disaster. And Ted Danson wasn't even on board with the restaurant. If he'd gotten Ted Danson to help open the restaurant, I reckon high. I mean, I reckon he's a good character. But he didn't even get someone cool like that with the restaurant. I'm, yeah, high. Are we ready for the next name? I'm just going to find the pen now. High.
Let's Angel. Do it.
Okay, next name out of the cowboy hat is, oh, another one of mine, Skylar White.
Skylar.
From Breaking Bad. Skylar. I know you're not a fan, Jonathan, and we've talked about this a lot in our Breaking Bad podcast. She's just really pathetic because they're, like, her husband is dealing crystal meth, which she's completely unaware of for a couple of seasons. Okay, that's fine. Then she finds out about it, sort of tries to leave him, but then sort of feels like, oh, actually, it'll be more trouble for me if I don't, so if I leave him, let's just go with it, let's just roll with it. Then she starts complaining about it at every corner, starts getting depression over this. Then she does try to leave him and break things off, and it just creates more drama than if she'd just gotten away from things at the beginning. And she sort of left the series sort of okay. But at the same time, I feel like things won't be as good as they ever were for Skylar. I feel like she just ends up in a pathetic spot. What do you think, Jonathan? Skylar, pretty pathetic?
I'm not a fan of Skylar. I was hoping that she would get some sort of comeuppance for her hypocritical behavior throughout the show. It wasn't that she was that weak, because at some point she did stand up for, I guess, what she believed in. But then she flip-flopped. All of a sudden, she'd be part of the drug business. And they said, now you've gone too far. Or, why are you doing this? No, this is unacceptable. Actually, this is how we should be doing things. It's like, you're either in or you're out. You can't be so critical of something that you're a part of. And I found that relentlessly frustrating. So, I think somewhat pathetic, but I lean more towards annoying, because she did show that she had some skills and potential of her own, I suppose.
I'd agree. She did have some moments where she was really good at playing a part or going along with things. So I'm thinking low for Skylar, maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, let's put it like above or below Mike?
Ooh. I feel like Mike is more pathetic than Skylar.
Okay, I'll put it below. Okay, next name. I wanted to put Walt Jr. in, and you thought that would be controversial, having a disabled character. And you just messaged me, we can't call a disabled character pathetic. And I was like, which person on my list is he talking about? And then I was like, oh, yeah, Walt Jr.
When it was bad to have spent half the podcast explaining why that had no bearing on why you thought Walt Jr. was pathetic. And if it came across that way, we were very sorry. These are the reasons. No.
It's more just he was oblivious. He was so defended his dad at every corner.
He just wanted to eat breakfast and hang out with his dad. What's so wrong with that?
He just sets himself up for the biggest fall of anyone. Where he has to learn this guy's been idolizing for 5 seasons is like the city's most wanted felon, most notorious villain. Okay, another one of mine. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a lot of mine out of the hat, Jonathan. This is Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother.
Ted. Now, I've watched a fair amount of the first few seasons of How I Met Your Mother, but I kind of drifted away from the show. I did read about the finale because I heard the finale was sort of polarizing.
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers, please.
Prediction, it's a pathetic outcome for Ted.
Is it a pathetic outcome for Ted?
I think
that's what I hear. That's what I hear.
Maybe. Ted. The show is basically just a chronicling of his repeated failures throughout his life, because you know that none of these things that he does are going to work out until he meets the mother. Now, there might be some sort of play on that, but you know that everything he's going to do is fail, is going to fail. And it's frustrating watching him fail, not only because you already know it's going to happen, but because it should happen, because he makes stupid, stupid decisions.
Yeah. Now, this could sound a little rich coming from me, but I think he's also, like, it's not just that he fails at everything and he's pathetic at everything. It's the way he does it, too, where he's constantly whining, like, about these girls and about these relationships and stuff. It's nothing but whining from Ted Mosby. He's there, a lot of self-pity. A lot of, like, he just gets attached very quickly to people. He creates this romanticized version of every girl he meets, setting himself up for disappointment after disappointment. And just, yeah, it's just, I feel like he is almost like Ted Mosby's like a synonym for pathetic, almost. Like, you know, you don't want to Ted Mosby this up. Which I don't know if that's the How I Met Your Mother episode where that becomes a thing, but it definitely in life should. Like,
Such a Mosby.
Yeah, what a Mosby. And from what I hear in the final, it was very disappointing too. And just the fact he's spending, like, you know, 9 seasons telling his kids a story seems like, you know, he hasn't got much going on.
Don't you have friends that you could be talking to or making new memories instead of reliving past failures?
Telling them every little detail. Like, why do they care? Like, you know, here's the story about How I Met Your Mother, kids. I'm going to spend a third of it talking about Barney's stuff. Like,
I can only imagine how boring his future failures were if these were his past failures that he felt the need to share with his kids.
Okay. What are you thinking for Ted? I'd lean high.
Poor decision-making, self-pitying. That's a great combo for being high on the list.
Lower or higher than Angel?
Not quite as high as Angel.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We'll have to tweet the actor who plays Angel if he wins this. Like, you've just won a... you've won a prize. Your first award. Okay. Next name out of the hat. Okay, this is one of yours. Jenna from 30 Rock.
Jenna from 30 Rock. Okay. There's a few sort of full characters in 30 Rock, Kenneth and so on, but I feel like Jenna, no one else is really in on it or on her side. It's not like, oh, this doesn't work out for you, but, you know, we like you, Jenna. We're going to pick you up. Everyone resents Jenna. Everyone, all the writers are always making fun of Jenna, setting her up for pranks, and she deserves it because she has this delusional sense of grandiose talent, and she's this second-rate comedy actor who puts out awful songs like Muffin Top, and she only becomes famous for when she gains weight or dates a celebrity or gets drunk and has photos taken of her and put on the newspaper. And not only does that happen to her, she revels in it. She thinks that's even better, which just makes the whole thing even more embarrassing to watch. Very pathetic.
She is unquestionably pathetic. Here's some counters why I don't think she should be high on the list. And I think all the reasons you said were very good. I think the fact that half the time she gets what she wants, I feel like a lot, like she's able to, like, she doesn't, like, I feel like half the times either you see egg on her face where the writers play a prank on her and it goes haywire, or half the time she just ends up getting what she wants, like, you know, she gets to sing the Muffin Top song at the end of the thing and have her big number and big moment. So I think, like, her batting average isn't awful compared to some of these characters. And I also think even when it does look at her face, as you say, sometimes she's oblivious to the fact that it's even a bad thing that's happened to her. She seems to sort of just enjoy the attention. So she sort of, I feel like, you know, ends up on top more often than not. And in some ways, it's more like a Liz, who you might say, is pathetic, because she's what has to put up with all of, like, Jenna bounces back from things so quickly and ends up using Liz a lot, whereas Jenna's not often used for things. She's the user, not the usee. So what do you think, Jonathan?
I think medium.
Medium. Okay. I was going to say low, but she is pretty pathetic, so I'm happy to put her medium. Okay. Next name out of the cowboy hat. Oh, yeah. Now one of your ones. Hannah from Girls.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay. If you find any of our girls' podcasts, you'll know that I'm a huge fan of Hannah. I love her self-centeredness. I love how socially unaware she is, how immoral a lot of her decisions are, how she needs to input herself into every little teeny aspect of every other person's lives that doesn't concern her. She's infuriating. And not only do things not work out for her, they shouldn't work out for her, because she's a terrible person that makes terrible decisions. She's kind of intelligent in some ways, but socially not intelligent, and not a very likable person. And so I think, what's his name, the guy, John from Delocated, who just goes on the rant saying, as you are this toxic, selfish person that is just rotting inside, completely sums up the type of person that that Hannah is. And I'm on a pathetic binge right now. I'm feeling pathetic just thinking about Hannah.
Yeah, I agree. Hannah, very pathetic. I feel like the best argument to be made for Hannah being high on the list was made by Shosh in season 3.
One of my favorite characters on Girls.
Yeah, our favorite. I'm going to quote what Shosh says about Hannah. I've got the quote here. "Seriously, I have never met anyone who thinks their life is so fucking fascinating. I wanted to fall asleep in my own vomit all day listening to you talk about how you bruise more easily than other people." I feel like...
Oh, man, that hits the nail on the head.
Case closed. She's pathetic. High? I'm thinking high for Hannah.
Yeah, a man dies. She is concerned with how this will affect her book. You know, she has a terrible, tragic story about this handicapped person, and she's wondering how that's going to affect her relationship. She is... The only question is whether she's number one or over Angel, because she's high for sure.
Well, I think lower. Almost because there's a part of her that I think revels in herself, like self-adulation. Like, I feel like she still sort of ends up, she ends up hurting other people maybe even more than she gets hurt.
Yeah, what's more pathetic, being completely unaware of all your shortcomings or almost intentionally coming up short because you're kind of a terrible person?
Yeah.
So you want to go? You want to go, Angel?
I think maybe Angel. I just feel like Angel is so pathetic.
He's going to be tough to beat.
He's going to be really tough to beat. I think we've got some pretty pathetic characters there, though. But so you're thinking kind of in between Angel and Mosby?
Yeah.
Okay. I should have left more room in between them.
Here's an idea for the tweet. For whoever comes in, you tweet them. It's like, oh, Screen Verdict's put out a list of top 20 pathetic TV characters. You won't believe who came number one.
Yeah. You would never guess it. Okay, let's go. Next name out of the hat is a guy from a show that I like. I don't think you're a big fan of the show, Mad Men. Pete Campbell. Now, he's one of the ad guys, and he's just pretty, like, he's just a little slimy guy who's really pathetic, which I guess is why he's on the list. He comes in season one. He's sort of this guy who's a bit of an up-and-comer. He ends up having an affair on the first day and knocking up the girl that he has, like, the affair with. So he doesn't even do that right. He doesn't then find out she was pregnant till, like, after the baby's born either. And it's just, like, he's sort of always in Don Draper's shadow on the show, too. He's, like, sort of thinks he should be a great ad guy, but he just doesn't have the smooth and the class of a Don Draper guy. So, yeah, he's just this scrawny. Do you know anything about Pete Campbell?
Yeah, I've seen season one and then sporadic episodes from seasons 2, 4, and 5. So I know a bit about Pete Campbell. I remember he was very slimy, not trustworthy. No one really liked him. He seemed very petty. He always wanted to prove himself. Like, someone got a story published, and then he wanted to prove he was a writer, and then he wrote something, and then his wife didn't even like it, and then he got really, like, mopey that his wife didn't like his short story. It was quite sad. It was quite pathetic, and you didn't really feel sorry for him.
No. Things in later years have gotten a bit better for Pete, so he's now doing a bit better in the ad agency and things, and as sort of now, yeah, sort of, he's got money, he's got some influence, he's sort of doing a bit better with the ladies, so I think he'd probably be low on the list, though, despite his pathetic shortcomings.
Okay, so where in low?
Maybe the lowest, maybe lower than Skyler.
Okay.
I just think, like, he's sort of, and it's hard to know, we've got 7 episodes of Mad Men to go, so we don't know where he's going to end up. But
could be a very pathetic finale for Pete Campbell.
Yeah. At the moment, things are sort of going okay for Pete, though. So, okay. Next name out of the hat. There you go. Drop the name. Oh, here we go. People love this show. It's been on for way too long. It's Milhouse from The Simpsons. It's an entrant from you, Jonathan. Talk us through Milhouse.
Milhouse, famous for a fair number of quotes, including, "Everything's coming up, Milhouse." Unfortunately, it does not 99% of the time. Milhouse gets picked on by everyone at school, Nelson and so forth. Bart is supposedly his best friend, but Bart will sort of throw him under the bus a lot because of the various uncool things that Milhouse will do, prone to squirt milk out of his nose. He bags the role of Fallout Boy, so I guess that was sort of an upspike for Milhouse, but even that ends up taking an inevitable downturn. He's basically...
Comedy ensues.
Yeah, he's just the definition of just that poor nerdy kid that just struggles. Just school is just the ultimate struggle for Milhouse.
Probably, like, this is the story of Ted Mosby when he was at school. Probably, like...
Mosby Jr.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's in love with Lisa, isn't he? And she, like, you know... She's not even that great a girl, and he likes her. So, like, you know, he can't even get the girl sort of average, so... what are you thinking for Milhouse? I'm thinking maybe middle, but high middle.
Yeah, he's sort of that nerdy kid, but without the perks of at least being smart. You don't even really expect Milhouse to make anything of himself later in life.
Mm. Yeah, so above Jenna?
I'd say above Jenna.
Yeah, I'd say above Jenna too. Okay, next name out of the hat. We're churning through these. Like something that churns through butter. Okay, one of your entrants from a show that I quite like. Kim Bauer, 24.
Kim Bauer, Jack Bauer, one of the ultimate badasses of all time. You would hope to have a badass daughter, but Kim, she was on Struggle Street for so many seasons. She, I found pathetic because she would get kidnapped every single season. And it would become in increasingly ludicrous and more pathetic ways until she finds herself stuck on a mountain, trapped, sort of pinned down by a cougar.
Okay, just backpedal. I think this has been blown a bit out of proportion. She was not pinned down by a cougar. just walking through the mountain, and then just a cougar rocked up and just stared at her for a bit.
Not pinned down, literally, like pinned down where she couldn't move. She was like, oh, how am I going to escape from the cougar?
Yeah. And then she just walks off, I think. The cougar runs off. I don't know.
Terrible storyline.
That's the season where I think she then meets the creepy guy with the bomb shelter, who's completely detached from everything else that's going on in the season, so he just has to escape from him for a bit. He's not even a terrorist or anything, he's just a creepy guy.
I feel like if I had been kidnapped multiple times, I would start to develop trust issues. Creepy guy with underground bomb shelter in middle of nowhere would be the last guy I would be looking to stay with for safety. What are you thinking?
And then she starts, like, working in CTU the next season. Like, it's like, this is a huge disaster because, you know, like, she's getting even closer to where the danger is. Yeah. And then she complains a lot about how life isn't very good. So.
I'm thinking middle.
Yeah, I'm thinking middle. Below Jenna or above Jenna?
Maybe above.
I think above Milhouse or below Milhouse?
Maybe below Milhouse.
Okay. That sort of seems to make sense to me. I had to take someone off my list from 24, thanks to you, Jonathan, putting her on. And it was this guy, Mark Boudreau, from the most recent season, who I don't think is as pathetic as Kim because he's not on it as long. But boy, he's great. He just is a guy who doesn't like Jack Bauer, so keeps on trying to screw him over with things. And then, like, he'll get this thing, like, he'll turn Jack Bauer over to the Russians. And then there'll be, like, a call from the president 2 minutes later, goes, "We need Jack Bauer. He's the only person who can save America now." and just the look on Mark Boudreau's face, like, every time, like, it's like, whenever he tries to cut him loose, the president really needs it. It's pretty funny. Okay.
How many are we up to? Where are we up to in the list?
Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 names.
Okay. This could be a podcast in 2 parts, so.
We're running out of time. We're running out of time. Chloe.
Did-dun, did-dun, did-dun.
Yeah. Oh, no. So, yeah, we might have to break this into 2 podcasts. So, yeah, but we'll do number 10 now. We'll get that taken care of, and then we'll talk about our end game. I hope this is a good one to end us. Oh, my. This is one of my suggestions. So, a show I really didn't like back in the day. Now I'm a bit more indifferent to. Izzy from Grey's Anatomy. Do you know anything about Grey's Anatomy or the character of Izzy, Jonathan?
Oh, I might have watched 1 or 2 episodes. I know they like to use that How to Save a Life song in all the TV commercials. I know this was a highly deserving Emmy-winning performance from Katherine Heigl. The Academy liked it.
I believe she won the Emmy for the episode where she saves a deer.
How to save a deer. Matt, tell us what you thought about the character.
Okay, there's obviously a lot of pathetic characters in Grey's Anatomy. I was very close to choosing Meredith Grey, who is very self-involved, and we get to hear about all her relationship struggles through the vice of narration. But I just remembered the other day a storyline involving Izzy that I think typified how disastrous and pathetic her character got. And I'm remembering this from a couple of years ago, so I might have a few of the details a bit mixed up, but I'm pretty sure I'm close. So she has this boyfriend that's a patient, and she falls in love with him, this patient guy. Everyone's classic. Like, this is a disaster. Yeah, you're setting yourself up for disaster. And I can't remember, he needs some sort of transplant thing. I can't remember whether she gives it to him or not. She does something unethical to save his life, right? She does some form of unethical, gets him bumped up the list or something, and he dies anyway. he dies anyway. She runs up to the hospital in, like, some pink gown or something. I don't know why. She's obviously been at some fancy function or something. And there's a very iconic scene of her hugging his dead body or something while she's in this wedding gown. She's crying. She's really upset about it. So it's just, and then she has to lose, she loses her job because of all the unethical stuff she'd done to save his life. It didn't even work. He died. Pretty pathetic, right?
That did not work out well.
Yeah. Then a couple seasons later, his ghost starts appearing to her. He starts a relationship with his ghost.
What? Oh man, that's not an improvement. That is a downward spiral. How do things go with the ghost? I mean, are they happy? Is it a happy, healthy relationship?
I'm going to be honest. I sort of stopped watching around about this time.
You didn't stick around to see if she and the ghost made it? If they get married in the series finale?
I don't know. Izzy and Grey's Anatomy and Danny, I think his name was. Izzy and Danny. Is there a wiki on this or something? Izzy Stevens. But I don't know exactly. Heigl was critical of the show's development during the show's fourth season, particularly her romance with George. Oh, yeah, then she started going out with the George character, who was a bit of a pathetic character in himself on Grey's Anatomy. He was very whiny. And afterwards, her tumor was successful. She got a tumor. She married one of the other nurses in one of the other people in Grey's Anatomy, Alex. She just went out, the revolving door of going out with people in this hospital. Izzy made her final appearance in the sixth season, leaving Seattle after Alex ended their relationship. So it ends up with the guy she married from the hospital ended their relationship and she left. So I don't know what happened with the ghost, but it definitely...
It seems like it ended badly.
Yeah, because she then started going out with a couple other guys from the hospital, and the last one of them ended badly, and now she's left the show.
I can see why she won an Emmy for saving a deer. That would be literally the highlight of her life, it would seem.
So, what are we thinking on Izzy? I'm thinking high. I'm thinking this is pretty high on the pathetic stakes.
Yeah, this is almost making me wish I'd watched Grey's Anatomy just for this endless train wreck that is Izzy Stevens.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to go high.
I'm ready to go high. How high does she go, I guess, is the question. I think higher than Ted Mosby.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think about Hannah? Higher than Hannah?
I don't know. It's a little hard because I'm not that familiar with it, but it does sound awfully pathetic.
Okay, here's what I think we do. We're doing this podcast in two parts, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think we've both got to do a bit of Izzy Stevens research before the next podcast, just to see how deep this patheticness goes. But we need to place it. So do you think, where should we put her as a placeholder, though?
Let's put her below Hannah.
Okay, let's put it below Hannah, but we are going to find out as much as we can about what went down with Izzy and the ghost to see just how...
That could be a clincher. I want to see some Izzy and ghost scenes.
There was a sex scene.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I think we've got to reassess this, and she's definitely, I think, malleable. She could go higher, she could go lower. We'll have to get to the bottom of this. Not much lower, though. So there we go.
We're halfway there.
Living on a prayer.
10 of the most pathetic characters ever on television. We got 10 more for you. You'll have to tune in next time to see where they place, who ends up being number one. Number four will shock you.
Oh, no, yeah, no doubt. Number four will leave you speechless. So there's a podcast. So what a cliffhanger. This is huge. The biggest cliffhanger, I think, ever on a Screen Verdict podcast. since the Who Stole Mr. Bly's Cookies? Cliffhanger.
It's huge. We'll be back soon. I'm enjoying, as pathetic as this is, I'm enjoying it. I hope you are too. And we'll finish this monster podcast of patheticery next week.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.